But Glenn, not everyone wants to be on a strict diet, juice cleansing, and going through ridiculous rule sets to lose weight. And that's where Noom comes in. Listen, I just signed up for Noom a week or two ago, and this was, in addition to them being a sponsor, a Foot Clan member reached out and said that Noom changed their life, helped them have a better understanding and relationship with food, recommended it for me, because you don't just need rules to lose weight. You need knowledge and wisdom to help you build smarter, more sustainable habits. And they have a cognitive behavioral approach that helps you unlearn bad habits and better understand your relationship with food. 80% of Noom users finished the program, and over 60% have stuck with their goals for at least a year. Goals are a big part of the Noom system. Hitting those goals, meeting those goals. I've got mine set up after taking their quiz. It's great. You can start building better habits for healthier, long-term results. Sign up for your trial at Noom.com/footballers. That's Noom, Noom.com/footballers.
Hey, this is Cortland Sutton, wide receiver for the Denver Broncos, and you're listening to the Fantasy Footballers.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Oh, welcome in. The Fantasy Footballers Podcast back for Wednesday, September 22nd. Jason Moore, Mike Wright, I'm Andy Holloway.
I am currently watching my colleague over here, Jason Moore. He's bobbing his head, he's feeling the music, and he's moving his hands around. Like, if you're watching him on YouTube, you would have thought he was typing. But he, in fact, was not typing. He was simply mime typing. What were you doing?
That's a finger dance.
What were you doing?
So, legitimately, I know this will shock you, Mike. I was typing. Yes, I was typing.
Yeah, that's false. I just saw your hands. You were above the keys, and you were moving your fingers like you were typing.
Yes.
You were like this.
Well, afterwards. But the whole intro music, I was actually typing words onto my computer.
No.
Yeah.
You're like a phantom typist. That was the softest button caress I've ever seen in my life.
These soft hands are not made for hard labor. They're made for keyboards.
Are you that was like elegant saxophone playing with your fingers.
Yeah, I mean, you know. Oh, oh yeah, that's how I type.
Like, you somehow formulated the equation for the minimum amount of pressure I need to apply to this key for it to actually trigger.
Yeah,
and I don't want to. And that's what you just did in rapid succession.
Yes, and
I don't believe you.
100%. I scouts
sure
honor.
It didn't happen.
But my fingertips are as soft as the day I was born. I can't play the guitar,
that's
Mike.
That's what we love about you. You don't have callous fingertips.
Old soft tips over here.
Yeah, the calluses are on the heels. You kidding me?
Twitter at the FF Ballers. A reminder, we're on Green Room this afternoon for another live show. It's a live audio app from Spotify. You can hop on there. It's free. Download the Spotify Green Room app. Follow Fantasy Footballers. Be notified each Wednesday. We do it at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern time all season long. It's been a lot of fun. A little free-flowing, some bigger discussions. Gets a little wild,
yeah.
Answering lots of questions. We have buy sell on the show today. Unsolved mysteries from the first 2 weeks of the NFL season. The Thursday night preview with General Mills himself. And he's not on the show today, though, right, Brooks? We don't actually have General Mills.
No, he's prepping.
He's prepping for the game. We found out yesterday Jeff Driscoll is the backup to General Mills.
Oh, Driscoll.
Which is a perfect combination.
Yeah.
Join thefoot.com is the fantasy football community. Let's do some buy sell.
Buy or sell, presented by Pristine Auction.
You guys are on a hot streak. Aaron Rodgers last week, you bought 3 touchdown passes. He pulled that off. You sold Calvin Ridley 100 receiving yards. And, well,
he had a good game.
63.
But 63 and a touchdown does not equal 100 yards.
I mean, he was probably one of the odds-on favorites for yardage leaders on the year.
Yes, he was.
Do you know who the yardage leader on the year is?
Because
I actually looked this up yesterday. The top three, I know.
Okay, so Lockett has got to be close.
Lockett's number three.
And what, Cooper Cup of Coffee?
Cooper Cup of Coffee's number two.
Oh, no. Man. We've done almost exactly what is necessary. Man, number one.
And Waller got shut down
ahead
in week
of those two.
Two
guys.
Oh, my God.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Oh, man.
Debo!
I don't know how we went 3 for 3 last week, Mike. We are dominating, and Andy just dunked on us.
Buy or sell for week 3. Here we go. See if you can keep your hot streak going. We all got the Allen Robinson top 12 wide receiver sell. He was 45. And he could have done.
He had a touchdown in about 18 seconds.
And he dropped another touchdown.
That's what I was going to say. He could have done Justin Fields a favor and caught the perfect pass. Buy or sell week 3. George Kittle, buy or sell 13 fantasy points in week 3.
Oh, man.
I am buying this.
I will
this
sell
this. This is the week.
You're going to buy.
He's right above your head here in the studio, Jason.
You just mentioned how Debo is the yardage leader. He's taken everything away from George.
Georgie Porgy. Look, George Kittle still. I mean, when you watch him on the field,
Georgie Porgy. That's not nice.
Georgie.
He went from the manliest lumberjack to Georgie Porgy?
Yeah, I mean, if he has a bad game, so far this year he's been Georgie Porgy.
I believe Georgie Porgy was an insult that they used back in the revolutionary time against King George, if I'm not mistaken.
Really? Yeah, I would take it as an insult.
Porgy pudding and pie or something?
Yeah, something like that.
It has nothing to do with porridge?
A little Mother Goose action, but I don't know. This show is... You are right.
Georgie Porgy is a rhyming nickname for George. Yeah. Pudding pie was probably added just to rhyme.
Yeah, take that, King George.
I'm buying...
Well, that dude sucked.
13 fantasy points from George Kittle. Has Green Bay this week. The matchup is good. Green Bay's defense has looked like they hired the wrong defensive coordinator. And I think Kittle gets back on track. I mean, it's time.
I would agree that this is a good matchup. Certainly you're going to play George Kittle, and the Green Bay Packers should be able to score better than the Philadelphia Eagles did last week, which will help George Kittle be necessary in the passing game. But I do think with what we've seen from Debo and what we've seen from Garoppolo, who has not looked great so far, a potential change. I'm going to sell this. I think that to get that 13-point line and half PPR, he's going to need a touchdown. That's not usually his forte. He's more of a yardage guy.
That's where I was going to go. Andy, do you think he can hit that mark without a touchdown this week?
Yeah, I do. I mean, he's a big yardage guy.
Man.
He's hit that mark plenty of times without.
Sure.
But I think he'll score. So,
man.
They're going to need to score.
Yes, all football teams usually need to.
No, they don't. They didn't need to last week. Their defense has been dominant. It's going to have to be done. Right. Is it going to be dominant about Aaron Rodgers? I mean,
right.
Against Aaron Rodgers?
Okay, I see what you mean. I'm going to buy reluctantly.
So you two finally divert.
We did.
James Robinson versus Arizona, does he get 15 total touches? In week one, 8 touches. In week two, 14 touches. Buy or sell? I'm selling it.
I love the sell because I think when I looked at this morning, I thought the line was pretty high. We're asking him to touch the ball more than he has so far this entire year. But I do like what we saw from James Robinson was that he was the clear lead back. He was basically a full-time back. Carlos Hyde did virtually nothing. And when you look at the pace of play for both Arizona and the Jacksonville Jaguars, it's actually they are two of the faster, more plays per minute teams in the NFL right now. So I like this. I think the line's high, but I'm still going to buy. I'm going to buy because I think he is very involved this week.
Yeah, we saw him jump from week one. He saw... You know, just 36% of the running back attempts that jumped back up to the 85 percentile, which that's a good number. That's very hardy if you're up in the 80s. Only saw the 9% target share, unfortunately, which is what Robinson's really going to need if he's going to return his draft day value. But I will buy the 15 touches. I'll buy that.
You'll buy it.
Yeah.
He was, what was that number, Brooks? You want to read that to me?
In all 14 games last year that he played, he had over 15 touches, opportunities.
Yeah.
Wow, I mean, he hasn't done it for the first 2 weeks of this year?
Yeah, we certainly knew that.
Last year's gone.
Yeah, we talked about what James Robinson was last year was a 90-plus percentile snap and running back. He had all the running back carries, all the running back targets, and Carlos Hyde is mostly gone, but certainly still there.
Last one here, buy or sell Robert Woods as a top 24 wide receiver this week. First 2 weeks outside of the top 40. They take on Tampa Bay, and Tampa Bay's secondary back into their defense. It's been vulnerable so far this year. You know, Jared Goff had a nice game against them. Look, Cooper Kupp's not going to catch 40 touchdowns this year. It's not going to happen. Robert Woods is going to get his, but I don't bet on a touchdown, and I think he'll need it to get to top 24, so I will sell Robert Woods, top 24 wide receiver.
You illustrated my exact beliefs as well. I think he'll need to get in the end zone and won't this week, so I'm out.
Yeah, I already have. I have him fringe right there, like currently sitting at my wide receiver 23. I mean, it's Wednesday morning, so that'll alter a lot, but because it's so close to the 24, I'm going to take the probability and I would sell.
All right, that was Buy or Sell, brought to you by our friends at Pristine Auction. Use the code BALLERS to get a $10 credit towards your first sports memorabilia purchase at pristineauction.com.
News and notes from around the league, presented by Sleeper.
All right, the Browns placed Jarvis Landry on injured reserve, so he's going to miss, what, at least 3 weeks?
Yep.
And there have been two OBJ social media posts that are hinting at his debut.
Like recent ones?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. He retweeted or replied to the tweet about Landry going on IR that he was going to hold down the fort for him. And he's going to be, and then he, another tweet about like back like I never left. So OBJ should play this week.
He should not phrase it that way, because if he's back like he never left, then he will be back to doing nothing for the Cleveland Browns.
He'll be back to doing something occasionally for the Cleveland Browns. So they also said Demetric Felton, who was their leading receiver last week, running back, is going to take additional reps in the slot, whatever.
Okay.
OBJ is interesting this week.
It is wild. I mean, I couldn't have envisioned a scenario where Odell Beckham has been gone with injury, recovering from the ACL, and first game back, you're tempted to start him. But with the crazy timing of Jarvis Landry going on IR, I think there's going to be a lot of people starting Odell Beckham this week, and I can't say that that's a terrible idea. I would prefer to take the wait-and-see approach, but he's going to be the main wide receiver there. The other guys have done
nothing.
Jack squat.
Yeah, it was Rashad Higgins and Peoples Jones and Schwartz and no.
Breaking news.
I like the breaking news is happening during the news.
Oh, you
section.
Bet it is. Right in the middle
I
of
think
it.
This is the first time ever.
Could have just been more news.
Look, it just came through.
Oh, this is breaking, man.
It's breaking square.
Oh, let's hear it.
The Bucks have placed Antonio Brown on the reserve COVID list.
Interesting.
That's quite the gas.
Yeah. It sounded like you reacted to breaking news, not just regular news right
that
there.
That was. Well, because I hadn't heard it yet because it just broke. So the timeline here.
Not good.
I believe Tampa Bay is one of the teams that has said they are 100% vaccinated. So
that I think is correct.
So that means that I think that's correct. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm confusing that with Atlanta. We'll have to see about the timeline if he can get two negative tests, but I would presume he's probably going to be out given that it's a Wednesday right now. And we've had questions in the office of who is Jalen Ramsey guarding? You know what I mean? Like it might not just be shadow coverage on someone, but this was a game where I thought Antonio Brown was a sneaky good play, because when I think about using Jalen Ramsey, it probably would have been on Godwin, and if not, the bigger corner on Mike Evans, leaving Antonio Brown to kind of do what he wants, and he might not be there.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So, back to regular news. Brian Flores announced...
Not breaking.
Tua.
This one is breaking.
Oh.
Oh, no.
Oh,
boom.
Yeah.
Tua Tagovailoa, fractured ribs, will not play this week.
Oh.
Jacoby Brissett.
Hey, where's the beef?
It's not ideal.
It is not ideal, Mike. That is right.
What do you do with...
Not my words.
What do you do with anybody from the Dolphins?
You bench all Dolphins. I cannot...
Even the gas man?
Even if you can. I mean,
He did
very, very little last week. And granted, that was the Buffalo Bills, and their defense so far through 2 weeks has looked absolutely outstanding. And he probably will have enough receptions in a PPR league to be a viable play. But, I mean, is he any different? Let me ask you this. Is he any different than James White with Jacoby Brissett at quarterback? Is that kind of the player you're putting in your lineup is a...
You're saying between the two?
Yeah, between the gas man and James White.
I'd play the gas man.
Sure, but I'm saying not...
I must be confused. I am saying...
With the quarterback downgrade.
With the quarterback downgrade, do you view him much differently than you would view plugging a James White into your lineup? A guy who can get, you know, five receptions and pad those numbers, but probably isn't going to do a ton?
Slightly different, yeah. Only because he's going to get carries that James White won't get. So his ceiling is probably higher than James White's ceiling. But, yeah, I mean, they're probably fairly similar this week with Jacoby and Mac.
The gas man did see his running back attempt share drop. It was only at 53% in week one and down to 31% of the carries
last week. Yeah, I mean, maybe it's just bias. But they were being blown out 35-0 or whatever the case was. Like the back half of that entire game,
okay,
he wasn't on the field. So
right, it was Ahmed late.
So I don't know what that means. I don't know what it's going to mean with Jacoby. Like, it's probably a similar comparison with James White, just in the fact that the quarterbacks aren't going to do a lot. But the wide receivers, I mean, are you just avoiding all of them?
Probably.
Will Fuller is going to make his debut.
Yeah, I mean, Jacoby's not.
He's a good
terrible.
Backup.
Yes, he's a good backup. He's not a full time starter. He's not. There's far worse backups out there. Like our man Jeff Driscoll's out here being a backup.
For the NFL, I would agree with you. For fantasy, I would disagree. I can't fathom starting a wide receiver for the Dolphins. I mean, we have enough starts from Jacoby Brissett to know that it takes a big broken play from T.Y. Hilton to actually be relevant. Otherwise, you know, so maybe you want to throw Jalen Waddle in there because he's got the speed and he could, or, you know, Will Fuller could break something open. But I think outside of one big play, you're probably not going to enjoy starting Dolphins wide receivers. And the Raiders defense, their matchup this week, they looked pretty legit too.
All right. Mike Tomlin says, Big Ben has a pectoral injury. Mike Tomlin says it will affect his preparation ability. We'd better be ready to be adjustable. What does that mean?
I think that means that this is a great question. Like, what do you mean when he says we'd better be ready to be adjustable? I think that means they need to run the ball more. Tomlin is saying we need to be able to succeed at running. I mean, I'm not a mind reader, but that's how I interpret it. Man, you thought Big Ben couldn't get worse, and now this isn't great news.
I thought they were just like, he's like, we got to be ready to go to the chiropractor.
To be adjusted.
Maybe that was it.
Yeah.
I don't see it in here, but we need to mention the Deontay Johnson news, which was like Mike Tomlin's pretty forthcoming. He's the opposite of a lot of other coaches. And he was talking about the knee for Deontay Johnson, and he was saying something to the extent, and I don't have the quote in front of me, that it was doing good, not to be confused with great. That was the quote.
The knee?
That was the quote from him. Was that it's doing better, good, not to be confused with great. So still on Deontay watch for this week as well. He's been outstanding through 2 weeks, clearly the number one target. But if he's off the field, it kind of gives you more of a little bit of an encouragement for maybe Chase Claypool. Claypool's number two or three in the league in air yards, but they have not connected
at all. I was talking to you guys that I went back and I watched all of the that Pittsburgh game again because I was like the end numbers for Claypool, he ended up with 3 for 70, and it was, how did we get here? And he had at least 4 really deep shots, and they were good throws by Ben. This wasn't, you know, Claypool's running stride for stride with the DB, and Ben overthrows him by 3 yards out of bounds. No, Claypool got hit in the hands. He did catch one of them. But then he had some other ones that were just knocked out, which a lot of the credit goes to Casey Hayward because that's who was guarding him. But seeing those, it was disappointing that Claypool was not more aggressive in going after and saying that that ball belongs to me. I mean,
he's had a rough stretch.
Maybe we got a Canadian problem.
Yeah,
he's too generous, too kind.
He's too gentle and too kind of when the 50-50 ball goes, his just that nature comes out and he says, "Well, no, sir, after you."
So I don't want to hurt.
Yeah.
You.
So Mapletron, take that ball. That's yours.
It's been and I think to what Andy was starting to say, it's been quite a stretch. If you go back and look at the end of last year, week 17 was fine, but he had a six-pack of games that was just brutally bad, and now he's continued there. I think if Deontay Johnson is hobbled or misses the game, it's Juju to me, the short route guy, yeah. Slot guy that's really going to – I mean, how does he not have 12, 13 targets if Deontay is gone?
And it might be fair to conclude that Big Ben's deep ball is lost. Like, we don't have the same confidence in it. You know, at this point in his career, if they passed all those short yardage routes and – there's some reasons to be concerned there.
Mm-hmm.
Let's Andy Dalton week to week, unlikely to start the game against the Browns. Tyrod Taylor injured reserve. We will talk. We'll talk about the general later on here. That was today's news and notes brought to you by Sleeper, the leader in breaking news alerts. Make sure you download the Sleeper app. Join the breaking alerts channel. You will enjoy getting the news as we did.
Yes, breaking news.
That's right.
Before we move into the new segment, which we're very excited about.
I'm very excited about this.
Want to thank today's sponsor, Foot Clan. Today's podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Is there something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You know, my entire life, I've had mental health struggles. I've seen a professional therapist, and it was extremely beneficial when I decided I'm going to take this step and I'm going to help myself out. It really changed my life. And you can start communicating using BetterHelp in under 48 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional counseling done securely online. The service is available for clients worldwide. You get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions. You don't have to sit in the waiting room. That it's a little uncomfortable with traditional therapy. You get to do it all online. BetterHelp is changing the game of mental health. Visit BetterHelp.com/footballers. That's Better H-E-L-P. Join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp, they're recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. Fantasy Footballers listeners get 10% off their first month at BetterHelp.com/footballers.
We also want to thank Codecademy for supporting the show. Literally this week, I was talking to somebody that is in a certain job that they don't love, but they love computer science and they love gaming and they love coding or the idea of moving into that area of expertise. But they don't really know how to move from one job to the other job. That's where Codecademy can help you reach your coding goals on your own terms. Simply put, Codecademy is the best way to learn code online. So that's the headline there. They not only teach you job-ready coding skills, but they help you build unique projects for your portfolio so you can make that transition, earn certificates, prep for technical interviews. And the neat thing is you can get qualified for in-demand jobs in as little as 2 months. So if you want to make that kind of change or you want to up your skills, you can join the millions of people learning to code with Codecademy and see where coding can take you. Get 15% off your Codecademy Pro membership when you go to Codecademy.com and use the promo code BALLERS. That's the promo code BALLERS at Codecademy.com to get 15% off Codecademy Pro, the best way to learn to code. Codecademy.com, promo code BALLERS.
Unsolved Mysteries.
All right, Unsolved Mysteries. Thank you for that spectacular drop, Mike. That was a treat.
Cheers.
Number one, the first unsolved mystery that we will be diving into today. Rob Gronkowski.
Oh,
the tight end one.
Gronk, 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 gronk.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, that was so annoying on Sunday.
That was so great.
Mike.
It's annoying because you don't get to do it.
Oh, 100%. And my son, who's 10,
yeah,
was watching the game.
Oh, he was in on it.
And he has Gronkowski. And so Mike and my son were just alternating, Gronk, Gronk,
Gronk, Gronk,
Gronk, Gronk. And it was, you know, I was jealous.
It's super fun.
Week one, 8 targets, 8 for 90 and 2 touchdowns. Week two, 5 targets, 4 for 39, 2 touchdowns. And here we are with breaking news today that Antonio Brown won't be available most likely for this game.
Gronk, 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 Gronk.
4 tight ends in NFL history had 4 touchdowns in the first 2 games. Gronk's 2 of the 4. 2 separate seasons.
Nicely done.
Look, it's going to keep happening for Rob Gronkowski. Very few tight ends are dependable, predictable. He is one that you know has the mind meld with Tom Brady. Did you see his ridiculous quote yesterday?
No,
I would love
to hear
it. Not.
It's the most Gronk quote of all time.
Yo, soy
fiesta?
It about watching film?
I don't watch film because Tom watches it and then tells me what coverages I need to know.
Oh, he is who we thought he was.
Things just work out for Rob Gronkowski.
Oh.
Tom Brady has 9 touchdowns in 2 weeks.
Is he just leaning in?
He doesn't have self-awareness.
I bet he actually watches the film.
When you watch the film of Gronk and the mind, it's more than just the mind meld that Brady and Gronk have. It's the decision making that Gronk has on the field of when to go, which direction. Like, he has to watch. He's either just, I mean, obviously he's naturally gifted physically, but his actual football IQ is really, really high. And if he can do that just by Tom telling him what to do, that's impressive.
I think he's just got that incredible muscle memory, mental memory. He's a football player. It's in his DNA. So in terms of an unsolved mystery, I think fantasy players want to know, okay, you're 2 weeks through the season, but now you've got some tough matchups coming up. You got the Rams on the road, the Patriots on the road, the Dolphins, the Eagles, who look great on defense so far, mm-hmm, the Bears, then the Saints. So
then bye.
The next 6 weeks are brutal matchups.
And Gronk did this last year. It wasn't at the very beginning, so it feels much different.
I think that matters, though.
But weeks 6 through 8, he was tight end 6, tight end 2, tight end 4, and then 47. Followed up, tight end number 1, but then number 32. I'm with Andy that this is a whole season thing that Gronkowski is he's a tight end 1. He's probably, you could lock in, he's going
to
be a top 6 tight end.
Yeah, here's the deal. If you go box score hunting through the last year plus with Gronk, there's been one single game where you've been very happy with his fantasy production where he didn't get a touchdown. However, he gets a lot of touchdowns, so you're happy quite often. In fact, this kind of blew my mind. So remember, at the beginning of last year, Gronk was coming out of retirement. They had O.J. Howard. So those first 2 weeks, Gronk was not really involved in the passing game. Throw those first 2 weeks out. From week 3 through the rest of the season, which is obviously the vast majority of the season, do you know what Gronk was fantasy football-wise? He was the tight end 4 from week 3 on through the whole season. He is legit and he's good. However, he is touchdown dependent. He's going to score a lot of touchdowns. For my flavor, I would prefer to have a Hawkinson.
Well, sure.
Someone that you're going to get, you know, 10 targets every single game, a ton of yardage,
of course,
and you don't have to. Well, I don't think that everybody is that way. I think some people might want the explosion games of a 2 touchdowns, which won't be coming from Hawkinson.
The big question for me, for if you have Gronk, is are you tempted to trade him away? But I mean, you've got to figure out what kind of a tight end.
I got a perfect question for you.
Let's hear it.
Yeah, Rob Gronkowski for Kyle Pitts.
Oh, I did not think that was the
question. I thought you were going to go Porgy.
No.
I thought he was going Andrews.
I'll tell you right now, you should trade him for George Kittle if you can do that. Mark Andrews, probably you should. And then Kyle Pitts is another one where it's like, what kind of preference do you want? Do you want yardage or do you want touchdowns?
I think I would want that's kind of the breaking point. I think that's a very, very fair line in the sand. I would rather stick with the 45 touchdowns thrown from Brady and hoping that, you get a monster performance on the regular with Gronk, then, you know, Kyle Pitts had a very good week too. I think he was over 80 yards, and that could happen a lot, but the Falcons' offense hasn't looked great. He's still a rookie, so I would rather have Gronk over Pitts. But if I could trade Gronk for Hawkinson, Andrews, or Kittle, I probably would, but I am not looking. This isn't one of those situations where I'm going, tons of touchdowns first 2 weeks. I have to move him. I have to capitalize. I think Gronk is legit.
I think he's legit, and I hope, selfishly for me, that by week five, I'm not looking back after he has to play the Rams, the Patriots, and the Dolphins going, yeah, crap.
I should have cashed in.
I should have cashed out.
Yeah, yeah.
But my chips are, look, I'm riding. I'm riding with
Gronk.
Well,
yeah, I mean, and your investment was nothing. It was the waiver wire.
Yep.
Unsolved mystery number two, which maybe is the biggest one that exists right now. Ezekiel Elliott, Tony Pollard. Right now, Pollard's the running back 10 on the year.
No, he's not.
Zeke is the RB22.
No.
I saw a metric yesterday, and the metric was yards per touch. Okay, so you're not looking just at carries or catches, you're just saying when this person touches the football, how effective are they? Tony Pollard is presently the number one most effective running back in yards per touch in football. However, it's 2 weeks of the season. How do you view this unsolved mystery? How, what is the lens you're looking through? Because I've seen everything. I've seen people trading Zeke for Pollard. I've seen people talking about cashing in on Tony Pollard after 2 weeks. What are the Cowboys going to do? And what is, demystify this.
Do not trade Zeke for Pollard. That would be absurd. The only way that that's going to come to fruition is if Zeke gets injured. Look at the snap counts. 84% of snaps to 24% of snaps week one in Zeke's favor. Week two, it was 71 to 34%. And I get that. I think that that's probably more accurate for the rest of the season, is a healthier split, a 70-30, maybe a 65-35 split in Zeke's favor. You look at the routes run, they're still in Zeke's favor. The targets per route run are heavy. I mean, when Pollard is on the field, mm-hmm. he is utilized, which means to me that they're both valuable. But I don't.
Would
think,
you flex? Do you think Pollard will be flex worthy rest of season?
I think he will be flex worthy rest of season. He's touching the ball enough, and he's efficient enough on his touches. I mean, we've looked back over the last couple of years at some comps. You had kind of the Melvin Gordon, Austin Eckler backfield,
sure,
3 years ago.
That's a good example.
Where yeah. you were happy with both players. Melvin Gordon was great for fantasy, and Austin Eckler was great for fantasy. And even last year, Kenyon Drake and Chase Edmonds, you were less happy with the group, but Kenyon Drake finished as the running back 15, and Chase Edmonds was flex-worthy most weeks, whether or not you had the confidence to do it. But that's kind of how I view...
That's scary, though. That statement and that comparison is scary from the what you hoped you could get from Zeke.
Yeah.
Because you can't be happy that there's a backfield where a very relevant other running back exists for the elite production, can you?
I think you, well, you're not happy. I mean, you want your guy.
I
to
want
have
it
the,
all, baby.
Yeah, exactly. You want it all. But I, when I compare those two, right, like let's take a look at both of those comps over the last couple of years. You've got Melvin Gordon and Austin Eckler. Okay, Melvin Gordon and Austin Eckler, you were thrilled. Whereas with Kenyon Drake and Chase Edmonds, you weren't. Zeke and Pollard are far more talented individually, just on the field football players, than last year Kenyon Drake and Chase Edmonds. They're far more like Melvin Gordon and Austin Eckler when you just look at the talent of the player. And so, yeah, it can be scary, but they're just examples of how it can work. And I think the talent wins out. I think that the Dallas offense is one that you really, really want a part of, right?
You do. And I think it's just kind of minds are getting distorted with Pollard's hot start when you still had Zeke really effective last week. By the way, Pollard's at 8 yards from scrimmage per touch. You guys want to know the other top five?
I would love to.
Yeah.
Number two, Nick Chubb, 6.9.
Yep.
There is another running back tied with him at yards from scrimmage per touch.
Okay.
Tyson Williams.
Dude, he's been a monster.
6.9.
Nice.
There's two more after that. Cordarrelle Patterson, 6.5 yards from scrimmage per touch. Melvin Gordon, 6.4 yards from scrimmage per touch.
A 70-yard run will do that.
I know. Hey, do you want to know the baseman, or should we leave that alone?
Just give me the worst.
Worst is Mark Ingram at 3.0.
Sounds about right.
James Conner's the second worst in football at 3.3.
Sad.
Alvin Kamara.
Yeah.
3.5 per touch. Saquon, 3.7. Clyde, 3.9.
I thought you were going to say Clyde was the worst.
Alvin Kamara is maybe a nice segue to the next unsolved mystery.
Yes. My piece on Zeke and Pollard is, I think our hope for that Zeke could return to being that monster top five running back, I think that is gone. And I don't think that's...
Because of the receiving work.
Where, and it's... Yeah, Zeke is out. He's doing a bunch of pass blocking, certainly. But he's out there. He is running routes. I don't know why Dak isn't looking for him like he has in the past. Maybe it's just he likes, you know, his options with Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb now. He's just... And the tight ends, he has more confidence in those players.
Yeah, CeeDee Lamb makes a difference.
But if you're seeing two targets a week for Zeke, then the top five hopes are gone. Still, I believe, a solid running back one because of the volume and the offense that he's in. So I'm not bailing on Zeke. But that hope in the draft season that at the back of the first you got a top five guy, I think that's probably gone.
Al, are you you just wrote in our Slack channel that you're playing both. Is that Pollard and Zeke?
No, that was in regards to Pitts and Gronk earlier.
Well, never mind. Number three, unsolved mystery. We talk about it every offseason. There is turnover when it comes to fantasy defenses. You kind of have in your mind when you start the season, this is a good matchup, this is a bad matchup, this is a good matchup. The Carolina Panthers defense and then the Washington football team defense. You started the year saying, hey, plus matchup against the Panthers, bad matchup against the Washington football team.
Mm-hmm.
And then through 2 weeks, the Panthers week one, 14 points allowed, 6 sacks and a pick. Second week against New Orleans, the more impressive week, 7 points allowed, 4 sacks, 2 picks. They added Reddick in the offseason, who's been a very effective pass rusher for them. On the other side, Washington gave up 20 points in week one against the Chargers, and maybe much worse, 29 points given up to the Giants in week two. Only one turnover. What do you do with these two mysterious situations? Should we start changing the way we look at our matchups?
Well, let's take a look at each one individually, and keep in mind that this is indicative of the rest of the league. Like, be open to change, especially on team defenses. There's too much personnel changes on an 11. You know, there's 11 people that make up your defense on the field. So the Carolina Panthers, I really, it's so hard to say because you're talking about they played against Jameis Winston, turnover machine, and rookie first game ever, Zach Wilson. Like, this is, you want to inflate and get something wrong, this is set up to do it. But, man, I believe. I have watched these games, and whatever you want to say about Jameis Winston and his turnover-prone nature, okay, that's fair. But what about the New Orleans Saints offensive line that is legitimately very good and got decimated? I mean, just outclassed by Carolina last week. We just talked about bottom of the barrel yards per touch, Alvin Kamara? What? He's not bad. He's outstanding, and Carolina shut him down. So when I've watched these games, I've been blown away by the Panthers. I think that they are a really, really great defense. Speaking of this, I just realized our waivers must have gone through.
They did.
I'm playing against Andy. Did I get the Carolina defense against you to go up against General Mills?
Let me tell you the answer to that, Jason. I have it.
Oh, no.
I've got the answer.
You're too happy. I didn't get them.
You saw right through me. You did not get them.
Woo!
Man, waiver shows suck for me.
Your bid was 4, and the winning bid was 6.
Darn it.
Well, did you get them, Mike?
No.
Okay.
All right.
Sorry, Jay. That's disappointing that you didn't get them.
Yeah, for one of us.
So, my position on the Panthers defense, because of how atrocious they were last year, the rebuilding process, and the fact that they played what we've now seen. I mean, there's two quarterbacks leading the league in interceptions right now. They're both rookies. It's Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson. You played Zach Wilson in week one. You played New Orleans in week two with Jameis Winston, who struggled mightily. I expect them to succeed on Thursday night, but I will be curious how they perform against a powerful Dallas defense, a tough offense to face in Philadelphia with Jalen Hurts running the football, and then the ever-efficient Dalvin Cook plus Kirk Cousins and Justin Jefferson in week six. So would I sit somebody because they're playing the Panthers right now? No, I wouldn't. But I am intrigued. I am intrigued.
That is a good way to look at it. Does their defense affect your decision-making on the offensive side? And right now, I probably would not as well. I think it is possible by the time, like, you're not playing any Houston Texans today, and then you're going to sit the Panthers against the Dallas Cowboys, not going to sit any Dallas Cowboys. But if the Panthers show up against them boys, you might be hesitating about starting Jalen Hurts against the defensive.
Now, Mike, what is your viewpoint? Because I think you can interweave the Washington defense with how we saw them narrative-wise playing on offense, right? Like, you kind of – we all viewed them as a great defense that maybe puts the offense in a position where they can do what they did last year, which is win with kind of a muddling Gibson-led, run-led offense. Is this defense not as good as we thought it was, or are they just finding their footing to start the year?
Man, they are one – I mean, it's perfect that they're in the unsolved mystery area because they are one of the most baffling things about this NFL season to me so far, like especially against the Giants, where, yes, Daniel Jones is showing up, you know, and he's playing pretty well, especially for how much – crap that everyone gives him. But the fact that Washington couldn't, it didn't just demolish him and that offensive line, that's where it's really worrisome if you are playing that DST. And now, you know, are they worth holding on for? You see that
as Atlanta, a fantasy defense.
Yeah, you see that Atlanta matchup and the Saints matchup coming up in weeks 4 and 5. That's juicy. I want in on that for Washington, at least the defense I thought they were, but they got to play Buffalo now. Are they good enough that you're going to play them against Buffalo and take whatever number they give you or stash two defenses? And I think that answer has to be no. You got to move on. You got to pivot away and just take that lump.
Yeah, there's no way I'm wanting to play Washington. Whether I would hold them depends on the other options on my bench and the waivers, but I would be looking for a different DST to play against Buffalo.
Unsolved mystery number four, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. In week one, 14 for 43. Week two, 13 for 46. A tweet this morning from Jared Smola summarizes the situation. 51 running backs have 10-plus carries through 2 weeks. Clyde Edwards-Helaire ranks 51st in Pro Football Focus's running grade out of 51, 49th out of 51 in elusive rating, 50th in yards after contact per attempt. He's 3.3 a carry this year. He was 3.8 from week 9 on last year.
With the fumble that cost them the game.
This team right now doesn't need the running back to be the focal point of the offense. There's no real reason to believe that they would make him the focal point of the offense.
Right.
So expectations moving forward, I mean, I have seen the widest gamut of what do I do's with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And when I say that, I mean trade offers, right? Do I drop him? I've seen that.
Oh, don't do that.
And I've also seen, like, do I trade him for James White? Do I trade him for
Pollard.
Elijah Mitchell. So I'll give somebody else the floor here to weigh in.
The first thing that I'll start with this. He's those numbers are not surprising from that Smola tweet. If you're watching him on the field, he looks bad. But what's the craziest part, and this just fits perfectly with what I think the rant was yesterday of just it was sometime this week, of why did you draft Clyde Edwards-Helaire? Like, as a team, what were you doing if you're not going to throw him the ball? Currently, Kansas City, 8% of their targets are going to the running back position. That is dead last in the NFL through two games, where last year they weren't setting the world on fire at that, but 18%, and which was right in the middle, 16th. So, you know, I would imagine that just will naturally turn into more targets for Edwards-Helaire moving forward. But at this point, he's probably going on my bench if I have anybody that I can plug in over him that I think is a top 24 running back or even a top 30 running back. I'm going to let Clyde Edwards-Helaire sit for the future.
Chargers, yeah. Eagles, Bills, football team. Next four weeks.
With the exception of teams that just completely shut down the running game, you know, the Steelers, who outside of breaking a long play, you just don't get to run on them at all. I don't think that the Kansas City Chiefs are one of the offenses you really matchup hunt against. You know, they're going to be able to score. The problem is, like Andy said, they don't need Clyde Edwards-Helaire to score. They don't have to rely on him to be good because of Pat Mahomes. But Pat Mahomes is so good that the offense is going to score a ton of points. They're going to get a ton of yards. They're always going to move the ball. And he is still the running back getting the vast majority of everything. He has done very, very little with it. And outside of that fumble, they have not needed it. They should be 2-0, if not for that play. And this is one of those you don't want to overreact, because in the end, take the names out of it. Take take a step back and think about it this way. This is a starting running back getting the majority of the work on a great team. You look back at all these different teams, all the Andy Reid offenses, even the Pat Mahomes offenses, and you will find bad stretches for everybody not named Travis Kelce weeks in a row. And if these 2 weeks, these atrocious showings, happen in week 12 and 13, you look at his rookie season, right? Like, Clyde Edwards-Helaire was not special. He was a major disappointment and very valuable on, you know, the course of when he was playing. He was still at the running back position. I think that the hope that I had of having the high upside, the year to leap forward as a player, that looks like it is unfortunately shot. But he's still a player that is getting the majority of the work for a great offense. And I can't imagine that I would look to move him while his value is super low. I wouldn't trade him for the Tony Pollards and James Whites
of the
world.
Would you trade him for Tyson Williams?
I wouldn't, because if you look at going forward, Tyson Williams could, if we say crystal ball 4 weeks from now, is Tyson Williams the starting running back for the Ravens? I would say probably, but I know Clyde is the starting running back for the Chiefs outside of injury, and Tyson just carries too many variables.
There's two things I'll throw into in this. Number one, this will be the worst game of Clyde's season. The game he just played.
Yes.
So the game he just played will be the worst production you get from him. So if that echoes what Jason's saying about, like, you know, it'll be better. It doesn't mean it'll be great. So the second thing I would advise people with Clyde is don't consider him to be an anchor to your running back room for your fantasy team. Mm-hmm. You need to adjust. If you had him there, go pursue another running back. Go reinsure that room. Clyde looks better in the flex this year than he does in the RB2 spot. So if you can go do that, then you're going to, I think, stabilize your team a little bit and just change your expectations.
And the just again on the targets, I'm sorry, I got to harken on it, but in a game where your number one wide receiver is taken out, like Tyreek Hill was removed very successfully by the Ravens. And that turned into nothing through the air for Clyde. It was like, oh, well, we're going to give Pringle a shot. DeMarcus Robinson, Hardman, let's give all these guys targets. It was
But don't
very
you remember,
strange.
I mean, wouldn't you say that the fact that they are basement, dead last in targeting the running back, and that that wasn't how they were last year. They were just average NFL. Wouldn't that say that it probably just bounces? Like, regression would go up for passing to the running back.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. It's,
he's just not been good with it.
I'm scratching my head over here.
They changed the play. I mean, he had one catch in three of the last four games last year. So if they throw him the ball, you're going to be super helped in fantasy.
Yeah.
But they seem to be not wanting to do that the way they did with Damian Williams. 2-0 Raiders is the last unsolved mystery. We'll be brief here because we got to get into the Thursday night preview. Derek Carr, can he finish as a top 12 quarterback? Are the Raiders legit? He's the quarterback 8 right now. He put up 56 pass attempts against Baltimore, 37 against Pittsburgh. He's taking shots down the field, which he has not always done. Bryan Edwards, 1 week.
Yep.
Henry Ruggs the next. Darren Waller mismatching every DB in the world. So I think they're real.
Man.
But I picked them to win against Baltimore. And I believe in them.
Derek Carr has not seen a start like this fantasy-wise since 2017.
Which was the MVP season.
Was that the one?
I have to imagine it was. He started a year where they were, 9-0? Something ridiculous where he was being talked about as an MVP candidate.
And then the final game of the week of the year, he got hurt, right?
Yes.
That was 2016.
Oh, so you're saying 2017 he started hot as well?
In 2017, he started off as the QB9 and the QB5. He followed that up by being the quarterback 30 and then getting hurt. And then was mediocre the remainder of the year.
The year before that, however, the 2016 year, 9-5, 22, 5-6, that was the year I think that they had won quite a few games. Yeah, if you look at that season, they started 10-2. They were 10-2 in 2016 with Derek Carr. I believe that the defense has improved enough for them to be in every game this year. They were one play from knocking off the Chiefs twice last year. I'm going to say that they're going to stick around. They may get a layup this week. I know we joke about it being like this is the game the Raiders would lose to the Brissett Dolphins, which it super is. Like, this is the game that the Dolphins defense has 3 touchdowns and Brissett does nothing. But look, on paper, this is a team that I think could start 5 or 6-0.
Man, whenever you finally believe in the Derek Carr, John Gruden Raiders, which happens at some point every year.
It's like opposite Tinkerbell.
This is fool me once situation. I'm sorry, Raiders fans. I can't buy into the legitimacy just because of the history. And you're 100% right. They should smoke the Brissett-led Dolphins.
Smoke that brisket.
This week. Oh, smoke that brisket. smoked brisket. Had some yesterday. But I do think that, I think this is a 500 team. And so being 2-0, having some great wins, I don't buy that they are one of the best teams out there, that they're an 11-12 win team, not in that division. I have not personally seen enough. I realize Edwards had a good week 1. Ruggs had a good week 2, but I don't know that we've seen enough from those two wide receivers to like prove it yet. You know what I'm saying? Like,
sure.
It's still been like week 1 was entirely Darren Waller. I mean, at the very end of the game, Bryan Edwards came to life, but if you turned the TV off with 3 minutes left in that game, you'd say, "Well, I'm cutting Bryan Edwards."
Sure. And he had the touchdown call back. It took a miracle in week 1 for them to win, which it happened, but it was still a miracle at the end of the game that they were able to come back and win. Pittsburgh, it was very close until they pulled away at the end. I think they're a good team. What mystery are we trying to solve? Are we saying like the Raiders are going to be great, or are we saying Derek Carr is going to be an excellent fantasy quarterback?
I think the mystery is
there's a lot of mysteries in the mystery, just like the breaking news in the news.
I think the mystery is it seems like the Raiders are great. Are they? To which I say, sorry.
I'll say they're good, but unfortunately,
are they going to make the playoffs, Mike? 63% of teams that go 2-0 make the playoffs.
Great question.
They will not win the division.
But that's not saying much.
I don't. But that's still huge.
They are winning the division. I don't mean over the year. I mean now.
Yeah, yes.
Right now,
because the Chiefs are 1-1. I will say that the Raiders don't make the playoffs.
I would say the same.
I think they do. Yeah. And I'll say this: if they're a good team, remember the implications. Josh Jacobs is amazing when they win ball games.
Sure.
So,
yes,
I mean,
in their
every single victory,
like week one, he was amazing. He was amazing, and they won.
Yeah, well,
except
no,
he was terrible, but he scored a bunch of points.
Well, he came off the field, not a lot of opportunities.
No,
it was the Ravens
just
D. But
just a
haven't
goof.
You made that point like all offseason? Like
yes,
like how as the Raiders go, Josh Jacobs goes, and
100%
chicken or egg back and forth. So if you do side with me that they're legitimate, then it may have implications on like you could probably pick up Jacobs soups cheap.
You can get Jacobs
right now.
Yes, very very cheap.
Thursday night breakdown.
They are going to play this one. The Carolina Panthers traveling to Houston to take on the Texans. DraftKings Sportsbook line, Panthers minus 80. No, that's not true. That's not true.
They are going to dominate.
I thought that was
game.
A joke in there from Kyle, but I saw Brooks deleting the zero.
Yeah, it's a decimal missed.
But... yeah, you're fired, Kyle. Minus 8, but it feels like 80. Over under is 43. I mean, honestly, that says something to me. Like 8 is not. I mean, that's by far not the biggest favorite of the week. That says to me that the bookmakers, they're asking the question we asked about the Panthers as a whole that we asked about their defense. They're saying, okay, we got a couple weeks sample size. It's been a little hot and cold on offense at times.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not going to go crazy here. Like Houston won a game. They actually competed long into the Cleveland game,
mm-hmm.
and that was due to punting on third down, basically.
Oh, my gosh.
That was the key to victory.
Oh, my gosh.
Punting.
But
no, no. It was, yeah, they declined.
They declined a 3rd-and-10 chance instead to punt on 4th-and-2.
Which is, oh, my gosh.
To play the field position game when their punter then kicked it into the end zone.
And lost a bunch of field position.
Would you have given him credit if he punted it down to the one?
None.
No.
Okay. Yeah, I know.
He gave the other team the ball.
Yeah.
Which is the way to win if you are.
Right. He's like, well, our offense can't get it done. Let's
just take it.
The implied point total, 25.5 for the Panthers, 17.5 for Houston. We don't have to linger too long in this matchup, but
thank God,
because we're fantasy football players. General Mills was 8 for 18 last week. You don't touch him with a 10-foot pole.
No Lucky Charms this week.
No, you're getting whatever.
You're getting Tricks.
No, you're not getting. I mean, Tricks is fine.
I'm just throwing. I don't even know if
Tricks
these are
is
Mills.
More exciting than
there's
Davis
really,
Mills.
There's only two questions even on the Houston side of the ball. It's can you flex in Brandon Cooks, who's been great.
Of course you can.
For the first 2 weeks with General Mills. And, yeah, you can. I want to hold my breath, and I would prefer
OBJ or Brandon Cooks.
That is a great example. I think I would rather go Odell Beckham, and that's me taking that. I don't know that General Mills is going to be able to do anything in this game. And then the other question is, will Mark Ingram get more than 9.5 carries? This is very important.
That is a very important question.
Let's get that.
Why is that so important? I can't even remember.
I think that Andy and I are in on him getting more.
Would you say we're banking on it?
I would say we are. Well, we're banking on that. And let's talk about Christian McCaffrey.
And 45.5 receiving yards from Christian McCaffrey. Well,
root for us.
I mean, look, it's going to overflow into Twitter Thursday night no matter what. Like, yeah, we got a few bones on that happening. Let's put it that way. But ride or die together, brother.
That's right. We're in it.
Christian McCaffrey is an unbelievable football player. Since week 8 of 2018, he's finished outside the top 10 at the running back position 4 times. That is 31 games. That is not normal. Unless you're Christian McCaffrey. So heavily involved in the receiving game. no matter, this is three quarterbacks now, right? We've been through this with Cam. We've been through this, you know, last year when he left, and then here we are again with Sam Darnold. Can you play DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson in this one? Yes, you can. Can you start Sam Darnold in this one? I think would be an interesting question for fantasy players looking for a spot start. Maybe.
I think that you can, but as a quarterback too, he's not in my QB1 streaming.
I agree.
There's some really good options that we gave yesterday that I would much prefer over Darnold.
Like Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah.
I mean, I do like the options. This is a great week for streaming.
That's all I mean,
I would put Sam Darnold in that mix, and the fact that you can get him ahead of the week in Thursday and, you know, get out ahead of it to see, you know, maybe you've got some safe options and some boom-bust options. I would be fine streaming Sam Darnold. I don't see him having fewer than two touchdowns. I mean, it's possible if Christian McCaffrey gets two rushing touchdowns and the defense gets a touchdown, it could go sour. But in general, looking at this defense and what the offense has been able to do, I would imagine that Sam Darnold will get two-plus touchdowns. So I think he's fine for streaming. And obviously, every dump off to Christian McCaffrey goes to Sam Darnold. He's been good for fantasy so far through 2 weeks, and this is a great matchup.
I expect this to be a Thursday night game like we sometimes bemoan, in the sense that the Texans have proved that they're an established the run offense. It's all the more needed when you have Davis Mills. The less times he throws the ball, the fewer times that you have Carolina with the opportunity to sack him, which they've done to both quarterbacks they've faced, and cause turnovers. So whether that's Ingram, Lindsay, David Johnson, or all of them, it's going to be a slogging, let's grind it out type of game.
If you had to start one of those running backs, and I apologize to anybody in that situation, who would it be?
It would be Mark Ingram to fall into the end zone on a pass interference play that brings them down to the 1 yard line.
That's probably what it is,
right?
I mean, it's that or David Johnson. I get that Phil Lindsay had the touchdown last.
It was a long
week.
One.
Yeah, you know, it was a good play, but that was Phil Lindsay with five total opportunities five attempts, six total opportunities on the week.
Let's play Robbie Orr.
Yeah.
Robbie or Marvin Jones against Arizona?
Marvin.
That's a Marvin for me.
Yeah, Marvin.
Robbie or Rondale Moore against Jacksonville?
Depends what I need, but probably Rondale. I'll ride the snake on that one.
Yeah,
I'm riding it this week.
Riding
the snake this week. Rondale is in my lineup.
I found out that you are the
Jason.
Devil.
Ride the snake.
Robbie or Pittman?
I would go Robbie with the ankle worries.
Yeah,
if
I knew right now that it was Carson Wentz for sure, I would go Michael Pittman, but we don't have that luxury.
Robbie or Kenny G?
Robbie.
I'll take Kenny G.
I think I'll go Kenny Golladay there against the Falcons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is your big Kenny Golladay week explosion, Ooh. Right? Didn't you predict that he's going to have a good game this week?
Yeah, maybe I did say that out loud.
The Falcons' secondary is so bad. If you want to go narrative, squeaky,
what about Corey Davis?
Squeaky wheel.
Anderson, Corey Davis for our friend Al Borland.
I would go. Who do the Jets play?
Denver.
Give me Robbie.
Yeah. I go Robbie.
Yeah.
Robbie.
Other breaking
Margo
news?
Robbie.
Oh,
and play the Panthers D.
Yes, play.
And remember to take your Thursday night players out of the flex.
Oh, that's good. We have not really brought that up a lot this year.
Shame
but
on us.
Not that Christian McCaffrey was in your flex.
Right. But, like, if you're starting Robbie Anderson, he's probably, you know, someone that you'd have in your flex. Move him out of your flex into the wide receiver spot. Leave your flex position open so that later in the week, if you need to pivot to a different position, you have that ability.
All right, that'll do it for today's Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Thank you for tuning in with us. A reminder, the Start Sit tool, all of our rankings, you can find them on the website, thefantasyfootballers.com.
See you on Green Room. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.